There are a lot of destructive forces at work in the chapter that we're going to study this morning. These particular sins are going to cause conflict and brokenness in Joseph's family. But for us, these same things bring conflict and brokenness in families today. So this message is taken from, as Gary said, an old text back in Genesis, but it's God's eternal word, and he still uses it to speak to us today. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn, if you will, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Genesis, chapter 37, as we study the biography of Joseph. First thought, first question. You're going to notice in this passage that his brothers hate him. What causes Joseph's brothers to hate him? Notice chapter 37, verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, if you ask the brothers, if we were back at that time and we called the brothers aside and we said to them, "Why are you so angry? I mean, come on, why are you so angry about this?" They would say, "We have very good reasons to be angry." Most people say that. After all, we're not being treated fairly by our father. And our father has given him special privileges that he doesn't deserve. To which you say, "What do you mean, special privileges?" Look at verse 3. You're going to be familiar with this, but you may not understand the full meaning of it. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. He made him a tunic or a coat of many colors. And I would guess, even from the time, if you've been in church or Sunday school when you were a child, you heard about Joseph and his coat of many colors. Let me tell you the significance of that. It wasn't just a coat. It was a symbol. It spoke of leadership. In particular, though Joseph is not the firstborn son, what this coat indicated to his brothers was, our father has decided to give the rights and privileges of the firstborn to Joseph, even though he's not the firstborn. That may mean that Joseph becomes a primary heir to his father, so that he would receive more than the other brothers. We don't know for sure. But Joseph was given special privileges by his father, special blessing, if you will, and he's being treated as if he's the firstborn. So I have a question for myself. How do I respond when other people get blessed more than me? I've often said to you, and I hope you catch the spirit in which I preach to myself before I preach to you. And I need this message this morning as much as anybody. But I have to also ask myself from time to time, when I see other people getting blessed or getting things that I didn't get necessarily, or given privileges by people, even in the Christian community, how did he get that position as pastor? Or how did he get that? What should my attitude be? My attitude should be, you know, thank you, Lord, that you blessed him or blessed her so abundantly. It's good to see your blessing upon that person. And be thankful. But his brothers weren't. They were angry. Which leads me to the second thought. How dangerous is anger? Because you notice in this passage, it says in verse 4, you know, they hated him and they could not speak peaceably to him. That means they were angry toward him. Let's connect the dots. Watch this. You have anger right there in verse 4. Look at verse 11. And his brothers envied him. Anger connected to envy. Watch this. Look at verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said one to another, look, this dreamer's coming. Let us kill him and cast him into some pit, and we will just say a wild beast devoured him. We'll lie about it. And we'll see what becomes of his dreams then. And I connected the dots. Anger, envy, murder. You say, really? Yes. Did you know that Jesus connected the same dots? You ought to write in your Bibles this passage right next to this part. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Turn there. Matthew 5, 21 and 22. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, it's Jesus said, and remember, these are the words of our Lord that we are here to worship today. You have heard that it was said by those of old or old time or long time ago, thou shalt not or you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And Jesus just connected anger to murder. You say, well, how is that? Because in murder, if somebody's murdered, guess what? You lose the relationship to them. They're gone. You can't talk to them. You can't share anything with them. You can't be with them. Murder separates people. Murder breaks relationships with people. And what Jesus just said is, so does anger. And if you are angry with that person, you have broken a relationship with them. And it causes pain and heartache and suffering. So Jesus connected the dots. His brothers hated him. They were angry. And it led, let's just kill him. There it is. And so Jesus said, you've heard it's been said. And some people said, well, I would never murder anybody. Jesus said, But I say to you, if you are angry with somebody, you've already committed murder. That's pretty powerful, pretty strong. Which led me to ask a third question. What do we need to know if we are struggling with anger? I told you this is an intensely practical message. I don't know your life, I don't know your situation, but I won't be surprised, but if at some point in your life you're going to face the temptation, at least, to be angry, hateful, keep in mind, you ought to hear a voice, Jesus' voice, if you will, saying, you know what, and you're getting ready, or you just murdered your wife. You say, well, I didn't murder her. No, you've broken a relationship with her. Now there's an alienation because of you couldn't control your anger. If you have an anger problem, the book of Proverbs describes where you are headed. So I wrote these down, and I have marked in my Bible for my benefit, but I hope they will help you today. This is just me talking, an opinion. There are too many angry Christians out there who are hateful toward other people, and they always justify it. Oh, what's the big deal? Big deal? The big deal is you're breaking relationships. Okay, let's look at Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 25. Now, if you can find the book of Psalms, Proverbs is next. Proverbs 25. Now, before I read the verse, let me tell you what the thought is that I wrote down. According to the verse I'm going to give you, an angry person is always at the mercy of their circumstances. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Or, you could put it this way, a man who has no self-control, he can't control his anger, is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. Let me put you back in these days. The city walls were essential for cities back in those times. Look, it's different today. I mean, you know, we can fly into cities and all of that. It's totally different. But back in the early centuries and the first thousands of years, when they built a town or a city, they would, of necessity, build a wall around it. Because if you didn't build a wall around it, every unwelcome thing would get into the city. Enemies, creatures, whatever. The city walls were essential to maintain the health of that city. That's why he says, a man without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. That's why as soon as they got back, you know, Nehemiah, it's all about rebuilding the walls. For the person who doesn't know much about it, why is that such a big deal? It's a big deal because the city is at the mercy of all the circumstances of life enemies who will get into the city if you don't build walls around it. So an angry man is always at the mercy of his circumstances. Tuck that away in your heart. If you have an anger issue, you're always going to be at the mercy of circumstances. There's always going to be somebody who says, and you respond, or maybe it's a wife toward her husband. Think before you speak. You're in Proverbs. Turn to chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Which means this. A hot-tempered man, a person who can't control their anger, starts fights and gets into all kinds of trouble. You think about it. You become angry toward a particular person, well, guess what? If that's your wife, you've hurt your marriage. If it's your children, you're alienating your kids. An angry person ends up committing all kinds of other sins. Now you become bitter, or you become self-righteous because you can't control your anger. No wonder Jesus said, you've heard it's been said, don't commit murder, but I say to you, anybody who's angry has already committed murder. Breaks relationships. So an angry man starts fights and gets into all kinds of trouble. I just turned the page and I wrote this down. I keep a lot of files over the years. I've counseled and worked with young people and families. And I will just tell you, this is just going to be my opinion, and it's going to be my experience. So I'm not saying this is the final word. But I reached into my files, and I pulled out, I haven't seen some of these things for a while, and I pulled this out, and I thought, and I wrote down years back, and it said something like this, after all these years of my ministry, the two greatest complaints that teens give about their fathers, sometimes mothers, I have in parentheses, is this. I wish my dad would not get so mad so easily. That's what I would hear. Or it could be, I wish my mom would not get mad so easily at me. And the second one, this is almost a hard... I wish my dad would admit when he's wrong instead of taking it out on mom. Those are the two that I heard the most. And shame on us who profess to know Jesus and are filled with the Spirit of God living within us, and we can't speak kindly to people and graciously, and anger is breaking relationships and breaking marriages and families and alienating our kids. I wouldn't be surprised. There are some kids, maybe they're now in their 20s. Maybe, I don't know. They would have come to church or won't go to church today because they got sick and tired of all the angry Christians. I'm just saying, I don't know. The most common characteristic of an angry person is this. They don't hear themselves. A couple comes to me and turns out there's this anger issue. Let's say it's the guy. And she says, I'm just telling you, the way he talks, he has put me down and he has been angry at me. Everything I do, he's angry about it. Gets mad at me. Oh, I didn't like that. Or, well, I didn't think we were going to go there. Or, you know I don't like those people. So why did you tell him we'd come over? On and on and on. I hear that. And I look at the guy and I say, true? He goes, I didn't say that. Really? And most of the time, angry people don't hear themselves. So the first counsel I give is this. If you have an anger problem, I usually say, I'm going to give you an assignment. This next week, when you're talking to people at work, at home, your kids, whatever, or driving your car. I knew I'd eventually catch you. See if you hear a voice that says, oh, I just yelled at her again. I'll bet you're going to hear a voice that says, I just did it again. I didn't realize how often I do that to my kids or my wife or my friend. Anger breaks relationships. Proverbs 22. Turn there. Proverbs 22. Verses 24 and 25. Get this. Make no friendship with an angry man. You know what? At this point, I'm saying to myself, I didn't know there was that much in the Bible about anger. This says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, don't go. Why? Oh my goodness. Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your own soul? That is, lest you learn to be just like him and you endanger your own soul. An angry person, what this is saying is, can influence other people. So stay away from angry people. Even this week, after I'd already written all this message and everything, I'm going to disguise all this. So, but a Christian leader, there was communication given to me, and the thing that was given to me had to do with dealing with all kinds of toxic people in church circles. I thought, well, there it is again, you know. And personally, I made a decision years ago. I need to minimize or stay away from toxic people because I can't live with it. It affects me. And that's what this says. Stay away from toxic people. My goodness. So that means you may need to choose new friends. Don't announce it. By the way, don't go to the toxic person. Because you know what you'll get. What I say, what I do, you know, who are you accusing? But you may need to choose new friends. And be careful, young person. I would have some teen talking to me about his home situation, and he'd say, my dad goes out and drinks, gets drunk, and I'm there with my friends, you know, doing something on the computer, whatever, having a good time, and in comes my dad through the door, and he's drunk again. And she said, he's done nothing but embarrass me in front of my friends. My dad's stumbling around, then he's saying stuff to my friends. And he said, I'm just tired of it. I've heard young people say that many, many times. And here's the heartbreaker. 8 or 10 years later, that same kid is coming home drunk. The very thing he attacked his dad about, he turned around and did. That's a whole nother subject. I would just say, be careful who you criticize and who you become angry with. Notice, you became angry. You couldn't control your anger towards your dad. You should be. I'd be brokenhearted, not angry, to see my dad in that condition. But the anger allowed the circumstances to get a hold of you. Interesting. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit or controls his anger than he who takes a city. What that just said was, an angry person, controlling our temper is more important than the position we hold. You may be the manager at your company. You may be, you know, make a lot of money. You may be very successful. What this says is, controlling your anger is more important than the job you have. And I also, through the years, would hear young people say, yeah, my dad, yeah, he's the head of the company, or he's this or that. I don't care what my dad, or I will say, by the way, I don't think I know your dad too well. Where does he work? I don't know. They don't even know where he works. You know what? It doesn't matter. But they know how they do care about how their dad treats them. They don't care what his position is at the company. One more. Proverbs 18, verse 14. And this again is a scary one. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Drop down to verse 19 because it's connected. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. And what this just said was, a wounded spirit is worse than physical pain. And a person who has a wounded or broken spirit is difficult to restore. In other words, if you've murdered somebody, it's not going to be easy for you to restore that relationship that you've, the person you've murdered. That's what this is saying. Not easy. We earlier read Ephesians 4. Take a look at it again, and we'll close with this. Ephesians 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to notice the power of words in this passage. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In other words, don't let any unwholesome, corrupt word come out of your mouth. Only what is helpful to people and builds people up so that they are benefited by you and not hurt by you. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Spirit of God. Don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. You say, wait a minute. I can't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow. Yes, you can. Let me take you back to basic theology. We believe in one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't a thing. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. And that's why this says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I can't grieve this pulpit. I can, you know, it's a thing. But I can grieve the Holy Spirit because He's a person and He lives in me. And then I'll read verse 31 to you, and 32. So let all bitterness, wrath, here comes our word again, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's a verse I many times give to couples in marriage counseling. Be kind one to another. And I even will say to them, so when you said that to your wife or your husband, were you tender-hearted? Be kind, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. That's the way we're supposed to live. His brothers hated him. And then they decided, let's just murder him. And Jesus said, anger is murder. Heavenly Father, help us today to be more like you. Help us, Lord, to listen to ourselves, to be careful what we say. Help us, Lord, to speak the words that you would speak, and to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as you, Lord God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.